This WebmasterRadio.fm program is made possible in part by the following.
AFCON 2010, the trade show that you know where affiliates always attend for free, is making its way to Denver June 21st to the 23rd. How would you like to come to AFCON 2010 and not pay a single penny? AFCON 2010 presents the AFCON 2010 Fully Free Experience Sweepstakes. Go to AFCON2010.com/sweepstakes. You can win round-trip airfare, a three-night stay at the Hyatt Regency Convention Center Hotel, and VIP access to all sessions, exhibits, and WebmasterRadio.fm's Affiliate Bash. All you have to do is sign up now at AFFCON2010.com/sweepstakes. Be one of the thousands in the affiliate marketing community that are making the switch to AFCON 2010, the trade show that's free for all affiliates, June 21st to the 23rd in Denver. Register today at AFFCON2010.com.
The opinions expressed on this WebmasterRadio.fm program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WebmasterRadio.fm. Any rebroadcast or retransmission of this program without the express written consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.
Feeling better? Looking better? Making life better? It's Life Tips. We'll explore the latest innovations, introduce you to the latest products, and bring you the tips from experts and environmental pioneers to help you lead a better life. Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, wiser. Here are your hosts.
Welcome to the Life Tips Show today, everybody. Byron White here, and I'm here with Marshall Goldsmith. Marshall, welcome to the show.
Very happy to be here.
We're happy to get some mojo from you. Tell us about your new book, Mojo.
Well, my new book is called Mojo, and it's about that positive spirit toward what you are doing now that starts from the inside and radiates to the outside. And it's off to a great start. It made it up to number two business book in the U.S., and as I mentioned, it's currently number one in China.
Marshall, you have written several books, and I'd like you to just spin through some of your trophy books that have gotten lots of publicity and press, and you were number one, for example, for several books. Could you give us just a brief history of your illustrious background?
I've done a total of, I think, 29 books. The most popular books, my most popular book is called What Got You Here Won't Get You There, and that was the Harold Longman Business Book of the Year Award winner when it came out, number 22 bestseller for the year of all books on Amazon, number one business book. So that book has been a huge success. Another one I did is popular called Succession, Are You Ready? With Harvard Business Press. And my first popular book was called, years ago, called The Leader of the Future, and that was with the Peter Drucker Foundation.
Where do you source and get some of your material? Your insights are just incredible. Do you have a strategy by which you help change the way people think about the world?
Well, I mean, I have a coaching strategy. In terms of writing, I can't claim that much logic. Mojo is quite different than my other books. My other books, for example, What Got You Here Won't Get You There, or Succession, those books are about how do you help people change behavior, and it's really focused on interpersonal behavior. Mojo is focused much more on intrapersonal. That's looking at ourselves in terms of what leads to happiness in life, what leads to meaning, and the only person that can define happiness in life for you is you, and the only person who can define meaning in life for you is you.
I want to ask about this sort of the positive spirit and the source for that energy as you see it.
Well, I think I'm often asked, what are the characteristics of successful people that I meet? And to me, one of the most common characteristics of successful people is a large part of their lives are spent engaged in activities that do two things at once. One, they make them happy in the short term. They provide, you know, happiness, short-term benefit. And two, they're meaningful. They do something that's important in the long haul. And basically, what our research has shown is that if you're healthy, if you have enough money to live, kind of middle or above class lifestyle, and you have good relationships with people, the only two things that matter is, are you doing what makes you happy, and are you doing what is meaningful for you? And if you do that, you pretty much won in life. I mean, I've seen billionaires who are miserable who I would not define as successful. So to me, success is not just money. Success is finding happiness and meaning in your life.
Hmm. You talk a little bit about nojo in the book, those that don't have mojo. Can you explain that?
Well, it's something that's kind of easy to see. I fly on airplanes all the time, and if you saw that movie Up in the Air, the character has 10 million frequent flyer miles on American Airlines.
Mm-hmm.
I have 10 million frequent flyer miles on American Airlines, so I know what that's like. And I often see flight attendants. One is positive, upbeat, motivated, enthusiastic, loves what he or she is doing, cares about the passengers. The other one is negative, bitter, cynical, angry, clearly doesn't want to be there. Well, they're both in the same plane at the same time with the same customers, the same company, the same benefits, same corporation, same everything. What's the difference? The difference is not what's on the outside, it's what's on the inside. And the difference between mojo, that positive spirit, and nojo, that negative spirit, that's strictly not what's coming from the outside. That's just what's coming from the inside of people. And it's really not hard to observe. Most of us, as we go through life in restaurants, airports, airplanes, life in general, see this at home, parents, friends, relatives. And so it's very important to the degree we can to communicate that positive spirit toward what we're doing to the people around us.
Can you turn nojo into mojo? And if so, how can you make that happen?
Well, definitely. And there's two basic approaches. In the book, I say you either change me or I change it. First, can you change it? Can you change the external environment? Can you change where you are? If you're unhappy, can you get another job? Can you get another boss? Can you change that environment? Can you change what's going on out there that's making you unhappy and you see is leading to meaninglessness? And if you can't change it, then you got to look on the inside and say, well, can I do to change myself?
Mm-hmm.
How can I change the way I'm looking at this? How can I change my attitude? And my suggestion is too many people get stuck in the middle. They're not trying to change themselves or their environment. They're just sitting there whining, which doesn't help anybody. So you've got to face the reality of changing ourselves, changing our environment. And in terms of changing it, it's tough out there today.
Uh-huh.
It's tough out there. And I think people, one little advice I give people I've gotten so much positive feedback for, even at the high ends of major corporations, before you speak, before you act, take a breath and ask yourself one question. Is what I'm about to say or do in the best interest of myself and my people I love? If the answer is no, you got to wonder, why am I saying it or doing it? Well, too many of us say or do things that are clearly not in our own best interest or in the best interest of the people we love. We get angry, we get emotional, we quit thinking. And very important in today's world not to get lost in our egos.
Uh-huh. What do you feel are mojo killers in one's life and one's career? What is bringing us down and stripping out our mojo?
Well, let me give you a couple. One of them is one of the most common ones of the people I work with who are my personal coaching clients tend to be CEOs or could be CEOs of multi-billion-dollar corporations. So I probably coach more CEOs than anyone in the world. And my personal coaching clients, one of their biggest problems is overcommitment. But it's ironic because what comes from high mojo leads to nojo. What happens is we're so committed and dedicated and we're so enthusiastic that we overcommit. We overpromise. We think we can do more than we can. And then we just start burning out. We just have so much to do, so many obligations, deadlines, that we just get overcommitted and burn out. So of the people I work with, I think overcommitment is a big one. Another one is what I call sunk costs. We just get locked into things. And once we've invested so much in it, it's hard just to say it was a bad investment and get out of it. And there's a great book called The March of Folly about this, about countries that just make bad decisions, but they get so far locked into the bad decision they can't pull out of it. Well, sometimes, you know, we just have to look at our lives and say, all right, I have lived in this community for 10 years, but you know what? I don't like it here. why don't I get out, as opposed to saying, well, I've invested 10 years of my life in this place, I have to stay, or this job, or this career. Sometimes it's important to realize it's just not working. Cut losses and leave.
Let's take a station break, and we'll be back with Marshall Goldsmith in just a minute with more great questions about Mojo and what got you here won't get you there. Back in a second, everyone.
Life Tips will be right back after this short break. Staying ahead of the curve to deliver the best online marketing solutions you need. That's what the JAR Group is all about. The JAR Group offers a full-service suite of marketing and managing solutions custom-tailored for affiliate, search, and social media. The JAR Group uses their resources and research to help meet and exceed the revenue expectations of each and every client. Find out how the JAR Group can work for you at thejargroup.com. That's thejargroup.com. The JAR Group, online marketing with measurable results.
So you're telling me your affiliate program on the Local Pages Affiliate Network is performing as well as your handicap?
Absolutely. Thanks to their top-tier XML feed, I'm able to monetize all of my traffic. They handle all of my volume to anywhere in the world. Plus, I also get high cost per click and the most exclusive of advertisers to work with. You should join the club.
Sounds good. I can't wait to join.
But first, let's work on that T-shot.
Use the power of Local Pages. With over 5 billion searches per month and the largest database of paid search listings, let Local Pages Affiliate Network personalize your account and give you the search tools and solutions you need. Become a Local Pages affiliate today with localpages.com.
Are you happy with your landing page performance? Discover how to improve your landing page performance with ConversionCredit.com, brought to you by Engine Ready. Turn your underperforming landing pages into cost-effective sales-producing machines. Be sure you're not wasting your precious PPC budget. Conversion Critic tools give you the ingredients to create high-converting landing pages. You don't have to be an expert to use Engine Ready's Conversion Critic tools, but you'll feel like a landing page pro. Take the guesswork out of increasing your conversion rate. Visit ConversionCritic.com and boost your conversion rate for free. That's www.conversioncritic.com.
Ecom experts, Mondays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, or on demand anytime inside the Internet Marketing Channel, only on WebmasterRadio.fm. And now back to Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, and wiser. Here are your hosts.
Welcome back, Marshall. Thanks so much again for being on the show today. Your insights are helping make our life better, which is our motto here at Life Tips. Tell me a little bit about your actual daily habits and patterns. Are you a voracious reader? Are you presenting and working with companies and corporations and CEOs? What does your workday look like, and what gives you your own mojo?
Well, my life, in my professional life, I have three basic activities. Number one is I speak. I am a teacher. So I teach at Dartmouth, University of Michigan. I teach at many, many business schools. I teach also inside corporations. And executive education or teaching is actually what I love doing the most. Give keynote speeches. So I love doing that. I don't grade papers anymore, stuff like that, but I just work with business executives or sometimes graduate students. Then the second thing I do is coach executives. And coaching executives is work. I mean, my clients are CEOs or could be CEOs of the biggest companies in the world, and it's a very serious job. Although what I like about coaching executives, and most people would never guess, what I really love is how much I learn. Because everything I write about in my books, I learn from working with the executives who I coach. I'm very honored to work with such people, and I'm sure I learn far more from them than they ever learned from me. Then the third thing I do is writing and editing books and articles, and that is actually the hardest part of my job. It's hard for me to write. I'm a very extroverted person. I love people, and it's hard for me to sit there hour after hour writing. But writing is the way I reach people. I have a personal website called www.marshallgoldsmithlibrary.com. I give everything away. So your listeners can go to my downside. You can copy, share, download, duplicate any of my materials. People have looked at over 4 4.4 million times somebody from 195 countries has looked at something on my website. So it's just amazing how many people come to my website. I have blogs on Harvard Business, HBR.org. I have a blog on Business Week. I have a blog at Huffington Post, which, by the way, the one I just did on Huffington Post, thousands of people have read that thing. And it's amazing how many people read these. So what I like about writing is I reach so many people, but it is hard for me. So those
how much
are the three things I do,
writing?
And they're all good in different ways.
How much of your day is actually spent writing with seemingly so many posts happening and activity and in book writing? What percentage of your week, say, is spent?
I'd say a lot. My life is about a third, a third, a third. A third speaking, a third coaching, and a third writing. So, those are the three things I do. And obviously, that doesn't count all the time I spend on airplanes.
Back to Mojo. I understand, and congratulations, Mojo is now the number one book in China, number one business book. Congratulations.
Yes. Thank you.
Any idea why you might have found a vein over in China?
You know, I'm a Buddhist, and my work is very popular in China, in India, in a lot of countries in Asia. Because I think basically I have a good understanding of Eastern philosophy, and that might be part of it. I don't know. The other thing I will say for at least China and India is people over there love to learn. And I've been to Asia many times. They love to learn. And I'm a teacher, and I get treated with such great respect over there. For example, in India, I mean, the term guru, that's where it came from. And when I work in India, I'm treated with so much respect. And by the way, how much cynicism or sarcasm do I see from my students over in India and China? That would be zero. These people want to learn.
About a Mojo scorecard, is it possible for listeners and viewers and readers to have a Mojo scorecard in one's life?
Definitely. I have another website called www.mojothebook.com, and I have tons of free apps there. Well, you can go to that, and you can get the Mojo scorecard. The Mojo scorecard looks at achievement from two dimensions. One dimension is, what do I bring to this activity? And that's more of the traditional view of achievement. Your motivation, ability, understanding, confidence, authenticity. The second way the Mojo scorecard looks at achievement, though, is what does the activity bring to me? Does happiness, meaning, what is that activity giving to you? What is it giving back? And this is available online, and it's kind of neat to go through your day and evaluate your activities and ask yourself, what am I bringing to this, and how can I raise that? And also, though, what is this bringing to me, and how can I raise that score? Kind of a different approach. It also has something, the Mojo Meter, which I really love. Let me tell you the background. I do this daily question process with my own coach, Jim Moore, where he asks me questions every day. And if any of your listeners would like to get my questions, just send me an email, marshall@marshallgoldsmith.com. Marshall has two L's. And what happens is he asks me questions like, how happy were you on a 1 to 10 scale? How meaningful was yesterday? How many minutes did you walk? How many times did you try to prove you're right when it wasn't worth it? All kinds of neat questions. It only takes about 5 minutes a day to do this. Well, you know what? I've learned it really works. And the Mojo Meter breaks it up into even smaller components. As you go through your day, every activity, you start asking yourself, how happy was I and how meaningful was this? Let me give you my theory. Let's imagine you had to go to a meeting, a boring meeting, stupid PowerPoint slides, you're in a foul mood. If you knew at the end of that meeting you had to evaluate yourself on how happy was I and how meaningful was this, my theory is you'd change your behavior. You'd start looking for ways to make yourself happier, and you're looking for ways to find more meaning, as opposed to just sitting there and being miserable. And by the way, that hour of your life is gone anyway.
Do you think that we're going to enter with such great, intelligence happening about behavior, Marshall, in how to change behavior and how behavior is beginning to be understood more clearly. Do you think we're going to enter a stage where our communication is going to change, where we're collectively happier in what we're doing and why we're doing it? Do you see anything happening out there that is changing in a better way, how we're running companies and managing companies and running our lives and managing our lives? Are we actually spiraling downwards, in your opinion?
I think it's a yes and no. I have a yes and no answer. On the positive side, people ask me, are leaders worse today than ever before? Well, whoever asked that question never studied history. And before, we used to have institutions called slavery. We had sweatshops. We had kings, queens who could do anything they wanted to with impunity. Nobody could ever talk back to a boss. So in many ways, the work world today is much more positive than it was. And people who don't believe that have never studied history. On the other hand, in the rich countries, or maybe I should say the formerly rich countries, like the United States, the UK, a lot of Western Europe, perhaps even Singapore, Japan, it's tough out there. And it's only going to get tougher. I talk about this in the book. Global competition is very, very hard. And I talk about the type of jobs that are going to go away, both at the blue-collar end and the white-collar end. In the old days, I used to work at IBM. They were my biggest client. 1980, you could shoot a cannonball down the halls at corporate headquarters, hit nobody at 5 o'clock. They worked 35, 40 hours a week and took five-week vacations. Today, the same people in that same building work 60 to 80 hours a week and take no real vacations. It's tough out there. And I think for the rich countries, or the formerly rich countries, this isn't going to change. That's why it's so important to love what you do. Because if you don't love what you do and you're working 35, 40 hours a week and taking five-week vacations, not so bad. You don't love what you do and you're working 60, 80 hours a week and no real vacations, real bad.
What are some tips for leaders to try to get their employees to love what they do? Is it possible to get your employees to love what they do?
Let's say one is the lowest score and 10 is the highest score. Sometimes we just get lost in the search for passion. And you say, well, you're never going to get everybody up to a 10. Of course you're not. Well, let's say you raise somebody from a 1 to a 5. Well, that's pretty good. I want to give you a technique that's a little bit different. Rather than another corporate program or the boss saying, what can I do? And I talk about that in my book, What Got You Here Won't Get You There. In Mojo, I'm going to challenge you with a different approach. Challenge the employees to ask them, what can they do to increase their own engagement? What can they do to increase their own motivation? What can they do to increase their own experience of happiness? So as opposed to being a victim who's just sitting there waiting for someone else to make me happy, waiting for someone else to find meaning in my job, challenge them. And back to those two flight attendants, hey, the only difference is the companies are doing the same thing. The difference is on the inside. You know, I had an interesting personal experience just the other day. I was flying on the plane, and I sat next to a former flight attendant. And we were talking about my book, and I talked about flight attendants. And she said she loved being a flight attendant. And I asked her, what was the difference? And she said, in her case, she saw it as what she called her ministry of life. She got on that plane. These people were there for 2 hours. And through example, she wanted to model to these people how a human being should act. I thought, wow, that was amazing. Well, this was a flight attendant. A lot of other flight attendants don't have that attitude. If we challenge people to look on the inside and try to be more, there's probably a lot all of us can do.
Can a company or an entity or an organization have mojo?
That's something that, like mojo for a human being, comes and goes. And it's not a yes or no. It's kind of an up and down, and it varies at various points in time. For example, an individual, no individual has high mojo all the time. Our mojo varies by person, by activity, and by time. So you might have high mojo for part of the day and low mojo for another part of the day doing the same activity. In the same way, companies, mojo, their mojo varies by company, by process, and by time. So this is something that changes as we go through life.
Can you think of any companies that have mojo, like Apple Computer, for example? Does Apple Computer have mojo in your mind?
Well, I'll give you a company whose mojo is going up, and I'm totally biased because their CEO is a great friend of mine. It's Ford Motor Company.
Okay.
Ford Motor Company pretty much lost their mojo. And their new CEO is a man named Alan Mulally, who I think has done a spectacular job. He's not using taxpayers' money. Their stock is up about 10 times from the bottom. He is really put a new spirit into that company. And by the way, as a human being, I don't know anybody's got more mojo than he does. He is always up, always positive, always motivated, always enthusiastic. I've known him for years.
CEO,
I've never seen him down.
If a CEO, thank you. Yeah, if a CEO loses their mojo, how hard is it to get the mojo back?
Well, we all lose our mojo sometime. I think that we can get that mojo back. It just takes work. And we have to look in the mirror and ask ourselves, what message are we sending to other people? Let me give you an example. Another one of my good coaching clients was talking to her CEO. And we were talking about our coaching process. And she said, does this coaching mean I have to watch what I say and how I act in every meeting for the rest of my career? The CEO looked at her and said, welcome to my world. Now, let me give you an analogy. Have you ever been to a Broadway play before? Well, have you ever been to a Broadway play and heard the actor sit there and say, my foot hurts today, or I don't feel good, or my aunt died last week? I don't think so. You know why? It's showtime. Well, one thing I teach my CEO-level clients, if that actor can get out there day after day after day after day and bust their butt and be positive and enthusiastic night after night after night, they're making about a hundredth what you are. It's showtime. There's no excuse.
Is it a performance? Is mojo a performance, or is it that inner energy? You know that we need to propel the mojo that we have inside of us.
It's both. You see, the outside drives the inside, and the inside drives the outside. For example, if you make negative comments about other people all the time, you're going to tend to bum everyone out, including yourself. And even if they started the day on a good note, if you're around a team where everybody's bitter and negative and cynical, they're going to tend to go down to your level. On the other hand, if you're positive and enthusiastic and you tell yourself, I'm going to have to make this work, you start feeling better. So the inside drives the outside, but also the outside drives the inside.
I could just talk with you all day, and we'll ask only a few more questions, unfortunately, because we want to keep this to a point where people can download this on their iPod and finish up their exercises on their treadmill or whatever they're doing right now. And thanks so much for chiming in with our listeners today in advance. But you talk about some vital ingredients in the book of identity and achievement and reputation and acceptance. Can you expand upon that a little bit and tell us what you mean by each of those elements?
Sure. Identity, if mojo is that positive spirit toward what you are doing, it starts on the inside and radiates to the outside. First place, it starts, who are you? I talk about where our identity comes from and how we can change our identity. And in the book, I use an example of Bono as a person who's greatly changed his identity. He's a humanitarian now. Well, he's gone all the way from regular guy to music fan to musician to rock star to humanitarian. I talk about having dinner with him, listening to him talk about his life and how he's changed his life and how we can all create a new identity for ourselves. We don't have to be locked into a negative identity or a previous identity. Reputation, I talk about, that's something that's very hard to change. I talk about why it's harder to change our reputation than it is to change our behavior. And then I give you some guidelines on how you can change reputation and why reputation is so important to so many people. Achievement, I talk about, as I mentioned earlier, kind of differently. I talk about achievement in two ways. One, what do I bring it to it? And two, what's it bringing to me? And how we need to look at achievement, not just in a sense of, am I accomplishing something? But is what I'm accomplishing giving something back to me as a human being? And then finally, probably the most Buddhist part of the book is acceptance. Learning to accept what is, change what you can change, and let go of what you can't. And one of the most important points of the book is when I say that, I talk about something I learned from Peter Drucker. Every decision is made by the person who has the power to make the decision. Make peace with that. Not the smartest person or the best person or the right person. It's made by that person. If you can impact that person, you can make a difference. And if you can't, you can't. Just make peace with that simple fact. So few people in life make peace with that. We spend so much of our lives complaining about, quote, them, how stupid they are, what they are doing wrong. Well, they aren't complaining about us. So I talk about why not to waste your life on stuff you can't control and really focus on what you can control.
Life Tips is all about making life better one tip at a time, and you have given us so many tips today. I can't wait to listen to a recording of this myself. Do you have any connection point with any of the listeners out here? Do you want people to check out your site or chime in with your blog posts? Or who would you like to hear from that might be listening into the show, Marshall?
Well, first, my website, www.marshallgoldsmithlibrary.com. All materials available for free, copy, share, download, duplicate, anything from my site. MojoTheBook.com talks more specifically about the book. I have blogs you can look up at hbr.org, harvardbusinessreview.org, or you can also look up businessweek.com, huffingtonpost.com. So a lot of blogs, websites. Very easy person. Look me up. You can get Mojo anywhere, Amazon, BN.com, bookstores. So anything I can do, or people send me emails. I can't get back to people instantly, but I get back to people eventually. Marshall@MarshallGoldsmith.com.
Pleasure having you on the show today, Marshall. Thanks once again for being a guest on the show, and hope everybody liked the show today, and hope your life was a little smarter, better, faster, and wiser. Thanks again for listening in, everyone.